thank you.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Happy Father's Day to all fathers out here. Women's Bible study is Monday evening at 6 p.m. Wednesday night service is at 6:30 p.m. And then we have a lot of birthdays this month. Dennis was on the 1st. Donna was on the 13th. Ken's is today. Ken Meggs. Hannah's is the 19th. And Bob Hobo's is coming up on the 21st. So I think we need to sing happy birthday to everybody.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Many more. Is it, buddy, is your birthday coming up too? 24th? Ah, awesome. So, yeah, buddies as well. I don't have an ink pen on me either. No, I'm good, all right. I'll write that on the bulletin. Thank you. And prayer request, it's more of a praise now. My Aunt Carolyn had AFib, and they were able to shock her heart back into the proper rhythm. So praise the Lord. Yeah. We have our offering this morning. Can we have the ushers come forward for tithes and offerings, please? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we want to just thank you, Lord. Thank you for each and everything that you do for us. Thank you for the freedom to be able to be here to worship you, Father. For that is our desire, to worship you. Father, we just ask that you would just take this tithes and offerings, that you would bless it, Father, that you would spread it upon the waters, Father, to where you would have it go. Father, may we do things from this church that honor you, that uplift you, and show others you through what we do. Father, thank you so much for each and every one of these things, Father, that you have done for us and that you are doing through us, Father. Father, it is a true blessing. Lord, we just ask that you would just bless our president, give him wisdom. Father, bless our Congress, bless our troops, Father. And Father, just bless this country, Father, if it be thy will. Help us to return as a country to you, we ask and pray. Amen.
Let's stand and let's praise the Lord. The Mormon in the back there.
This is a good one. You know, when we was singing, I could just imagine us just on your own, just lifting up your eyes and saying, thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. There's sometimes my life has been so exciting to see what God can do when you begin to integrate who Christ is into your life. Like, he's not just that 5 minutes that you're going to pray in the morning or whatever, but he wants to involve himself in every part of your life, just to walk out who he is in you, to see that you are blessed because of who he is in your life. I mean, it's so exciting, and all I want to do is say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's really awesome to see that short kid back there, Chance and Dominique. Where's, oh, she's probably as tall as I am, right? And then we got all these kids over here. You know, it's awesome, isn't it? And do you know, Before I really get started, though, you know, I had a couple people share stuff with me, and I was wondering whether they wanted to share that with me or share it with the congregation. Buddy? That awesome? Woohoo! This shouldn't be so loud because I'm going to shout a little bit this morning. Isn't it cool? God is so good. I'm going to just tell you some stories. You know, like I really believe that there's sometimes when I looked at why God called me to pastor, and but I've seen people that have had tremendous knowledge of the Word of God. I mean, they are good. And I loved hearing them. And there's sometimes I tried to go ahead and say, Lord, I'd love to be able to measure up to that. But 74, I'm having a hard time remembering John 3:16. Just so you know. But, you know, the interaction that you have, the influence that you have in the people that surround you is so important. Friday, I was with Ken doing a fundraiser for Ladders of Hope in Douglas, and it's just amazing, you know, how God will, I don't believe in coincidences, because that God orchestrates things, but there was a gentleman that came in, and We tried to get him to buy some tickets. He said, no, I can't do that. And I understand that there's some people that believe that selling tickets and buying them is gambling, so they can't gamble, which is totally okay with me. But when he came back out, you know, we started talking, and I found out that he travels all over the world. He's involved with a missionary program that it's obedience discipleship. He's got a program going where he'll take men into the group and he mentors them with the Word of God so that they can be effective wherever they're at. You know, like it's some people feel like it's got to be a church or it's got to be a tent meeting or whatever, but God's looking to use you right where you're at. And it's coming to the place where we grab a hold of the Word of God, and not just so that I can prove it to somebody else, but that God can use me wherever He puts me. And I started thinking about that, and even this morning, you know, I started going over some of the notes that I had, and I'm thinking, God, I just don't know. But do you know what He's really looking for? People are just to follow. It's not so much, you know, working out a whole plan so that I can necessarily measure up to other people. It's who you are. God, the song that we were singing, for He loves you. He's so faithful. He loves you. And He's called you for who you are, where you are, and will use you if you're willing to be used. And don't feel like you have to measure up to other people, because God's not interested in that. You know, it really distracts, I think, sometimes the things that God wants to do in our life when we look at others and we think, man, I wish I could talk, but I can't. I'd be embarrassed because I don't measure up to this person. And it's so not true. It's so not true. Every one of us, it doesn't matter where we're at, God wants to use. My message today, I was going to form it around just the fathers. And believe me, when you start reading scriptures and you're examining yourself before God about being a father and how important it is that you're not only, you know, like, it's not only your relationship with them, but how you treat your wives, your mothers and fathers, you know, like respect. You come to the place where you walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you pray for your children. You love them and walk out with them who you are in them. I went and did a memorial service yesterday, and it was pretty cool. The name of the gentleman that passed was Mike. And the one thing that I heard most of all was how he interacted with his children, how he took them fishing and spent time with them and horse played with them, did baseball and all kinds of stuff to interact with them. But he also affected other people by doing that. So, like, it's important for fathers sometimes to come to the place to realize that we don't always have to be an evangelist outside, but sometimes it's right in your own home. Realizing that the effect that you have on your children are going to be important. And the way that they love you. Most of you know we don't have Adara with us. We miss her, but it's been really cool to see how God has begun to maybe direct what they're doing too. Let's pray. Father, we just, Lord, love you so much. We, Father, want you to invade our hearts, our minds this morning, Father. Help us to come to the place that we do want to honor our fathers today. Father, we want to acknowledge that we love them and care for them. But Father, you are my Father. And I want to acknowledge who you are today, Father. I want to exalt you today, Father. Lord, that you would invade our hearts. Father, bring us to that place where we want to surrender everything who we are and to you, Father, to you. Help us to do everything that we do in honor of who you are in our lives, Father. And Father, just be with me this morning. Help me, guide me, Father, in the things that you've given me to share. And we want to praise you, Father. We want to praise you. Lord, we lift up our voices and praise you, Father. Amen. I was going to start out. There's three things that I thought that God wanted to share with you today. It's good to look at you guys. Sorry. It's part of it, but it's good to look at you. One was believing. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 6. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I have heard stories from lots of people when they come to the place where there's trials and tribulations in their life, and they cry out to God. And sometimes, you know, God doesn't answer that thing right away. It's like not immediately. And they think that God doesn't love them anymore. He doesn't care. And, you know, like maybe he's walking outside of the will of God in his life. And it's sometimes, maybe we have been, but it doesn't mean that he is not hearing us. But we come to the place where I want to involve my life in the Word of God and then walk it out. To walk it out. He says, walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Before God, not before me. You know, like I'm just like you. Every day I have to get up and acknowledge who God is in my life. But he's looking for a people that will believe who he is. Regardless of whether he answers it immediately or whether it's down the road. Honestly, I've been born again for almost 55 years. And there's things that I believe that I prayed for and wanted God to do, and he didn't even do it until like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Some of them, it was almost 2 years. I was praying about the sandwich sign that I do occasionally. And some of it was fear. You know, I don't want to do it because people are going to make fun of me. So 2 years later, I finally made the sign and went out on the street. It was an awesome experience. I think the very first time that we did it, Wani was out there with me. There was a bunch of teenagers. There was a coffee shop, and there was a lot of teenagers that always went there. And so I stood on the corner there. It was like a four corners, and there was lines of kids that lined up to want to do the survey. I'm going, Father, I'm sharing this because that, you know, like there's simple things. You know, when God begins to work in your life and you feel like he's leading you, believe that he'll continue to lead you, even sometimes when you feel like you've blown it. How many of you know that we have an enemy? His name is the devil, or how do we call him? Hashakan? I'm not good at it, but I'm learning a little bit at a time. But he has a plan. To steal, kill, and destroy you. That's his plan. And he works at it 24/7. And there's going to be times when you give in to the things that he's telling you to do. But does that eliminate you from the plan of God? No. It says, a thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his plan, and if we blow it, he's not going to turn his back on us. You know, he's going to go ahead and chase us. God's going to chase us because he loves us so much. But we have to believe it. You know, stop believing the lies of the enemy. You know, I think I shared it on Wednesday night about a sermon I heard when I was down in Louisiana at my sister's church. And the guy was starting from Genesis, and he walked right through the Old and New Testament about different men that had turned their backs on God. And what he had was two chairs. The black chair was us, and the white chair was God. And he said he put the chair over here, and it'd be facing away from the white chair. And he'd pick up the white chair and set it in front of the black chair, and he says, that's exactly what God wants you to do. He says, I still love you. When we blow it, he doesn't turn his back on us. He wants us to know that he loves us. How many of you know the story of the prodigal son? The father that sat on the porch. I believe that he was watching and waiting for his son to return. Dads, you know, we wait for our children to return. The promise is there. It's a good example of the Father, but it was a great example of my Heavenly Father. You know, like when he saw the son coming back after he'd done everything he could to go ahead and destroy his own life, spent all the money that his father gave him, was working in a pig pen and eating the food that the pigs were eating, and he's thinking, my Heavenly Father. He said, my Father, if I worked for him as a slave or a servant, would treat me better than this. So he decided to go back home. God's calling us. You know, it doesn't matter what you think you failed at. God still loves you and wants you to understand that he's for you, not against you. And it'll work for you. It doesn't matter how far the road you took was away from him. When you come back, his promises are true. Yes and amen. They're final. They're not gonna fade away. The word of God says it's good for yesterday, today, and forever. God will never change. He'll pursue you as long as you have breath in your body. That is for you. But to believe. You know, when I say that, I mean, there's sometimes we think, well, what does it take to, like, come to the place that I really believe God? There's sometimes I'm not looking for a feeling. I want to do what the Word of God says. How many of you have prayed and haven't felt a thing, but maybe later on saw that God answered your prayer? God's not looking for you to have feelings, that, although they're wonderful, and I've had them. But feelings doesn't mean that you don't have faith. He said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, I've looked at a mustard seed and I'm thinking, oh my God, it's really small. But if you had faith just like that, he'll hear you. He'll be with you. There is another scripture. It's in Psalms chapter 19, verse 7. Now this one here, Psalms 19, verse 7. Hi, Kendall. Oh, Lord Jesus. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I love this one because that, you know, when I started comparing myself with other pastors and preachers that I've seen, and I'm going, Father, your word says that the testimony of the Lord is wise, making or sure, making wise the simple. And I'm thinking, Father, all the things that you've done for me, like people just walking up and wanting to know about Jesus. And I'm thinking, it's a testimony, but it made wise the simple. You know, I can quote scriptures sometimes, but I can't tell you where I find them. I'd have to go back to my concordance and find them sometimes. Some of them I remember, but some I don't. You know, it's so cool to think that when you get ready to serve God, that he's going to use you as you are. You know, it's not what you want to present to people. Like, I don't want to put on a front. I want to be who I am in Christ no matter where I'm at, whether it's in front of you on a Sunday morning or whether it's out doing a fundraiser for Ladders of Hope Fridays and Saturdays. But it's just come to the place where you begin to believe that God is for you and not against you. Isn't that important? Amen. Now, this is the next one. It's in Hebrews, back to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I've quoted this a few times, but, and you probably know it too. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When I start talking about demons and angels and God, You know, we don't see them. All we see is what's in the natural. You know, like I can see my wife over there, and I've lived with her 40 years, so I know her pretty good. And sometimes it's not good, but most of the time it's okay. But it's imagining, you know, that there is another sphere of world that we cannot see all the time. Although the world, I think Scripture says that we do meet angels unawares, you know, people that might come up to you and disappear in a few minutes, but encourage you. But to imagine that there's something out here that we can't see. And even though we're inside a church building, it doesn't mean that the enemy can't come and sort of pick at you. But God is here also. As a matter of fact, he said he gives angels charge over us. Can you imagine that? How many of you really realize that? Let me see your hand. It's by faith. You come into the place where I believe God's watching over me. Yeah. He said, I know the thoughts and intents of a man's heart. I mean, he can see the things that you want to hide from others. He knows who we are. But he's looking for you to believe that he's for you. You know, and the things that we can't see. Like if he speaks something to you and you don't see it happen right away, does that mean that God won't do it? No. It might be that you're going to have to wait for it. So come to the place where I'm going to begin to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Is God going to answer it? Yes, he will. It's important. Excuse me, coughing and must be allergic to Sam. Sorry about that, Sam. Well, I know better. I have to live with her, so if I go home, I'm going to really be in trouble. Can we go to James chapter 4, verses 14? It's James chapter 4, verse 14. Remember, I was talking to you about, you know, like if we blow it, you know, that there's sometimes, you know, we feel like there's no road back to knowing Christ or being in his favor. And it's another lie of the enemy. And this is really important. It says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. I'm sorry. That was part of it. It's James. I was close. Starting with verse 14, it says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I want to stop there because that, you know, like there's sometimes, and I'm seeing it, you know, like our eyes can get set on things in this world. you know, like establishing a huge savings account so I can retire. I'm not saying that's bad. Or having lots of friends, being approved of others, and, you know, that we're not ashamed of following who Christ is in our life. The Word says, He is, I got cold water. The word says, I'm sure making wise the simple, the testimony of the Lord. It's how we walk out who we are that really matters. It's not the things that we accumulate in this life. What he's saying here is that our life is like a vapor. You know, I'm 74 now, and my life seems to have gone by so fast. I look at my oldest son, he's 51 now. I'm going, my God, I got a granddaughter that's, how old is Aunt Melissa? Melissa, 25 years old, and I got a grandson who's 6 now, a great-grandson who's 6. And I'm looking at all this, and I'm going, Lord, you know, when I first met them, I liked harassing my boys. I'd tell you stories about that, but I shouldn't, because that it might not be a really good testimony, but it's okay. I had fun with my kids, but it just seems like, you know, my whole life just seemed to zoom by. It wasn't, you know, like when I think about people who are 64, I'm thinking they're babies. Or how old are you? See, you laughed. Now you're going to get it.
I'll be 60 in July.
See, babies. Chance, you're really a baby. So it's like, you know, to think, you know, that if you are able to comprehend the plan of God in your life, what he wants to do in you and through you. I know that there's sometimes, how many of you, when you was in your teens, was thinking about that husband or wife? Worried about it. Am I pretty enough? Handsome enough? Am I going to be cool enough? Is my hair done really good? No, yours is fine. See, it's like those are things that we worried about at that time. Then you met your wife and you're thinking, well, you know, what about the job that I'm going to have? I wonder if I can get a job where I'm going to make lots of money. I think the first job that I ever had was working for a tile company in Union Lake, Michigan. And I started out with $1.25. You know what? You're looking at all this stuff, but it's like the important thing is if I keep my eyes on who he is, if you seek me, you'll find me. God's ability to lead and guide you is so important, but it comes by faith, believing that he can do that. And believe me, during those years, I've made a tremendous amount of mistakes. But every time, God turned it around and blessed me and brought me to the place I am today. And it doesn't matter. I could blow it tomorrow, and God's still going to be there. What it might be something I'm going to have to get over mentally because that I've messed up. Yeah, sometimes. But yet, to believe that God would never leave you nor forsake you. And my life is here. I had the memorial service for Mike yesterday. I think he was only 51 years old. Not very old, is it? When I think about it, it's not very old. You know, I got a few years on him. But, you know, the testimony the gentleman had about his children and spending time with them and being an example of who Christ is in his life. Those are the things that I feel like are important. And it's not so much whether I'm going to be accepted by someone else, because God's not looking at that either. As a matter of fact, if you walk out who Christ is in you, you'll probably have more people that want to get away from you than walk with you. Yeah. When we was at the memorial service, and there was a guy who came from Tennessee to do the music there, and I got to know him a little bit because we waited so long for the service to actually start, but we had a wonderful time fellowshipping, and the boys and stuff that was out here just stayed away. They did not come close. I think there was a time they came up and talked for about 2 minutes, and then they went and wanted a fellowship with people that wanted to talk about what they wanted to talk about. I'm not opposed to sports and all those other kinds of things, but it's not something that I'm really enjoying talking about. It's Jesus. Amen. Amen. But there'll be those times when, if we keep our eye on who He is, people will come to you, because that you're going to be different than the people they used to hang out with. And they're going to want to know who or what you are and what makes you so different. It comes by faith, though. You know, believing who you are in Christ. And it's not just coming to church. You know, I love having us here, and I think it's important that you come. We can share and fellowship together. Like I've sat down, I know all of you. Right, Israel? What? Just say yes. I'm picking on you. What? It's important that we become who we are supposed to be in Christ. I think I was... can I embarrass you, Carolyn? I'm going to anyway. I was Wednesday night, we was talking about, you know, how old were you were when you got born again. And you said it was, you didn't even remember how old you was, were you? And I'm not saying that that's bad. It's just, you know, like when you see people's lives, it doesn't matter how old they were when they were born again, or how young they were, or how old they were. It's like what you see in them that really counts. The Romans 11:14, and I quoted that yesterday at the memorial service. It says, it's 11:14. Romans 11:14, if you want to turn there. Now I can't remember it. Romans chapter 14, 11:14. I was just checking to see if you were listening.
That's your favorite one. All of them surprise you. Provoking those to jealousy who you are in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Do you remember Bob's paraphrase? It's make them jealous of who we are in Christ, that they want them to. Really, that's all what it's about. There's sometimes it's not how many scriptures that you can memorize, it's whether you go ahead and they're in here. There's something that you believe and you're walking out that others can see. I got to tell a story about the guy who I met Friday. When we came back out and he was talking, he was a little bit embarrassed. I want to drink water, but I don't want to stop talking either. And this is going to be funny. You know, some of you might really be going, what? And others are going to go, I've seen that before. But he came out and he had a 12-pack of beer in his hands. I offered, but he said, no, I don't need any help. No, I did not. But, you know, like, there's sometimes we look at people And it's not always what you see on the outside, it's what's in here. And when we began to talk, I found out really the man's heart. I mean, he might drink a beer, but his heart is really for Jesus. I'm not saying, you know, like I even quoted the scripture where it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I can't do that. You know. Amen.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. I guess I'm bringing it up because that I feel like, you know, we're living in a situation where, you know, it's too easy to maybe look at people and say, well, I'm not sure about their salvation, but how they walk it out. This man, I'm not sure exactly how he feels about all that, but I don't think that he's a drunkard. I'm sharing it because that, you know, when we see people, when they see you, it's what do they see? You've got to walk out your own salvation. It's got to come to the place where you believe who you are in Christ and then honor it. Don't allow the world to dictate to you. There's another scripture that's popping in my head, and I'm trying to remember it. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself and before God. Happy is the man that condemns not himself in the things he allows chance.
You know, my wife kind of made a game out of it over the years because I pointed it out to her several years ago. But when I'm leaving a store, when people see me walking out of a store, if I don't smile, people think I'm angry. So I'm not constantly like, hey, how you doing? When I just have my normal face on, like I'm just walking, people think I'm angry or I'm mad, they get nervous of me. Mm-hmm. When I leave a store, I said, watch, you'll see it. When I leave a store, I'm walking out. Anybody walking in, as soon as they see me, subconsciously, they don't even think about it, sticks their hand in their pockets, and hits the clicker of their car. I don't know why it happens. It's like that day I'm going to steal their car or something. I walk out of the store, and we made a game of it. I'm like, watch, he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And we'll be walking, and the guy will look at me and go, every time. Every single time. I'm like, I've never stolen a car in my life. But just subconsciously, that's the way that I'm perceived a lot. And at first I thought it was just one, you know, if it was one or two people going to me, this is a constant thing I deal with. Somebody will see me, boop, boop.
You better have a big...
So it's not how you're perceived, I guess. I hope it's not because I'm perceived as a car thief a lot.
Just got to smile more.
I guess I got to.
Yeah. You know what's really awesome is that there's sometimes when we first meet people, we might do a beep, beep, I want to get out of here. But then when you get to actually know them, like I love that guy. I mean, I can sense a real desire of Jesus in his life. And that's a more important thing than what I see. And I'm not going to go beep, beep anymore. I'm going to wait for him to come in and give him a hug. I'm going to stop there. There's a lot we can talk about as far as who we are, but I think it was Richard and I was talking about how important it is in our life to integrate Christ into our life. He becomes part of it. Everything that we do, everything we say, you know, has to be a part of who Christ is in us. God's not looking for you to act great on Sunday morning. It's he wants to be a part of your life when you're eating breakfast, when you go to work, when you sleep, when you wake up. He ought to be a part of who you are. Integrate Christ into your life. Become who he wants you to be, not who Bob wants you to be, who he wants you to be. My prayer is that each of you in your own life will come to the place where you'll see God move and operate in you as he pleases. Amen?
Amen.
God's looking for you to just be who he wants you to be, not me. As a matter of fact, if you talk to my wife, she wouldn't want a whole lot of Bobs around.
Amen.
Amen. You know what? It's true. You know, can you imagine, you know, if all of us were the same, we'd be so bored.
Well, my daughter and two grandchildren are just like 15, merciless. When they're all in the same room together, you're like.
She's telling on me. In a moment, I'm going to ask Richard to come up. There's a lady that we want to pray for. Her name is Kim, right? You know, like I've shared this before, but I've seen tons of miracles happen. and I've seen tons of times where I've prayed for people and nothing has happened. Does that mean that God is not for us or whatever? No. I'm not the healer. God is. So we look to him and we believe that he can do anything that we ask according to his riches and glory, not mine. And he knows the plans of each person here and the persons that we pray for. He knows their plans. He knows what's going to be in their future, what they're going to do, what they won't do. He knows that. But it doesn't excuse us for not praying if somebody asks, right? So, Richard, come on up. And we want to pray and believe for Kim that God would work a miracle in her life.
Kind of wanted to share something real quick. I just want to make a short little testimony here that Yahweh God he's going to draw you if you seek him. I mean, if you seek him truly, because I knew in my life, I've been back here, what, a little shy of a year now? I used to come here years ago. And I urge you to call on him because I needed to know what I needed in my life to change. I mean, I've been born again since, what was it? I was 27. I'm about 60 now. So it was a long time ago, back in 87. And just in the past, I'd say 3-4 months, I've grown more than I ever have in my whole life, in my whole situation. But I came to realize something, that when I asked God to change my heart and show me what it is in my life he wanted me to change to get closer to him, because I wanted to know, you know. And then it was my smoking. Now, each person, you have to search inside yourself what's going on in your life, what you're doing. But when I finally came to realize, because I people would tell me, even pastors and good brothers would tell me, man, that's the least thing you're worried is, you know, smoking, you know. Look what you're doing. Look what you're trying to do. But inside, only each individual knows inside what's going on. So when you're honest with yourself and you seek your Father with all your heart, he'll show you exactly where he wants you to change in your life. That's why I gave it to him, the smoking, man. I could not quit on my own. I was so addicted. I couldn't believe it. So I prayed about it, and prayer works, because he's the one that delivered me from smoking, you know. And I can't believe how he's taken that away, because I'm very weak there, man. I mean, he's delivered me from alcohol, drugs, and now cigarettes, you know. And I'm telling you, when you seek him earnestly in your heart and you find him, you want more. That's an addiction I want for everyone, because, you know, I want to be boastful about him and I want to grow with him more and more and more. And I always felt I was such a failure, I can't, you know, and I'm always knocking myself down. But just believe, and the only way we can please our Father is to trust him and be obedient and follow him, and, you know, cry out for him. That's enough of that now. I have a friend, and I just wanted to share a passage here with prayer. you know, and with family, because we're all family. We're all his children. And we're not to be, you know, well, I don't want them to know what's going on in my life, but in Peter 5, chapter 16, it says, now this Bible's a little different. It's got more of the Hebrew layout, but it's pretty similar to King James. But it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another so that you are healed. An earnest prayer of the righteous one accomplishes much. Elijah was a man with feelings like us. I mean, he's comparing, he was like us. We're just like him, we're human, man. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and to the Shemahim, which is heaven, gave rain, and the land was brought forth fruit. Brothers, if anyone among you goes astray from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns the sinner from stain of his way shall save a life from death and cover a great number of sins. Mm-hmm. But prayer, you know, like I say, that's something we make a request to Yahweh, God, and we ask him, you know, he knows. He knows already before we even ask. But it's having that faith, and it's his timing, it's his whole thing. But I just encourage you to have that faith, because I know there's so many people that are suffering. And I have a friend that's suffering terrible with all kinds of different things, and I just ask that you would pray with us, that God, Yahweh, will heal something, give her something that, you know, to just, and sometimes the healing is breaking down our hearts, breaking us down to a point to where we just give all to him and trust in him so we can please him. But
amen. Amen.
But if you would, in your heart, just, I ask you as brothers and sisters to pray for my friend Kim. Mm-hmm.
So if you'd like, we're going to pray. If you want to just agree with us, stand up for a moment.
If you want to stand up, come down, whatever you want to do, that's fine.
Amen.
Thank you all. Shamahim, Father, Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to ask for your Spirit to reign over us, Father. And for my friend Kim, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that you would touch her in whatever way you feel that she needs to be touched, Father. We all come as one, Father. We are all one family. We're one body. And each one of us has things that we do, Father, different parts. But we all can come together and pray, Father, earnestly, and seek your face, that you can heal us spiritually inside first, to get us to see inside of us, Father, that where we must change. Father, I pray that we just do your will, Father. And again, I pray for Kim, Father, that you would just lay your hands on her and just give her a healing touch, Father. Give her understanding why it is we go through the things we go through. We don't understand sometimes, Father, but we know your ways are not ours. But Father, I thank you for this family, and I lift Kim to you this morning, Father. We all do. In the name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray this. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You got a great question.
Now I've got one other request. This is going to be a really tough one. Can all of you please stand for just a moment? Just stand. And if you really want to express worship and praise to God, you got to dance with me right now. Go like this. Yay, Lord, come on.
Amen.
Come on. Woohoo! So let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your family, Lord Jesus, for the body of Christ. And Father, we just all come to you. We worship you. We thank you, Father, so much for what you're doing in our lives. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity of praying for Kim. And Father, there's many others that we want to just lift up to you. Father, we have a whole board full of names. And Father, we're just excited, Father, for what you're going to do. And we give you praise and honor. Father, be with each father and their families, Lord, today. Lord, just bless them in every way, Father. And we give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.